This is message 6 of the Conference of Church in Bangkok, October 2013. Verses are Psalm 126 and Psalm 127. Especially in one Psalm 26, we really rejoice as we sing the song. If the Lord does great things for us, won't you be rejoicing? If the Lord will open the eyes of our heart so that we can see what He is doing today and how precious His church, Zion, is today. And besides, we are in the church. Aren't you happy about it? Truly so. We're really happy. Thank and praise the Lord. I hope that we can keep going forward in a good way. This is not a matter of teachings, you know. This portion of the Psalms is very important in the Bible. If the Lord would open our eyes and we see that the spiritual life continues to grow, our Lord Jesus came down from above in order that we, the saved ones, would be able to go up from down here, not to go to heaven, but that the spiritual life would progressively become heavenly, and our experience of the Lord continues to grow and to go on upward. This is normal. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us the work that God had in Jesus Christ is not only to save us so that we will not go to hell, but that we should rise up together with Him from the dead. Not only so, but that we should also be seated together with Him in the heavenlies. Do not think that we're sitting here today. Oh, we're not sitting in the heavenlies. But if you're living in your spirit, our spirit is joined to the Lord as one spirit. So if our spirit gets stronger and as it grows and matures in your experience, you will keep going upward. You would ascend. So you see that the church, Zion, is of the heavens. It's not earthy. This point is difficult to understand because we're too much limited by these earthly things and the limitation of our body. But do not forget John chapter 1. Our Lord is the heavenly ladder. He is the heavenly ladder on which the angels are ascending and descending, descending and ascending. And that is our Lord Jesus. He is up there, but the church is still down here. But the church is joined unto Him. That is why, in this fellowship, our Lord would bring down the heavenly things. And he would also bring us upward from here. This is too wonderful. This is too wonderful. So may the Lord open our eyes that we may see. Thank and praise the Lord. Now this evening, we've come to the third level. From the first level, we ascended to the second level. Now we're at the third level. Just like you're going in an elevator. You go from one level to another, upward. Sometimes you need to come down, but other times you have to go up. When we come to the third level, our experience is different. In the first level, we experience different things than in the second level. And your experience of the church is also different. When you come to the second level, the experience is for you to be firmly rooted and grounded. You cannot be shaken. Every brother and sister in the church needs to be rooted and grounded in the truth and in life. You have to see clearly. This way is God's way. It did not come from man. God's will never change. Man may err, man may deviate and make mistakes, but you should not be throwing away the truth just because man made mistakes. We are not following man here, but we're following the Lord. The Lord's word and the Lord's will never change. So you need to be clear concerning the truth today. In order to be clear on the truth, you should not just be clear on the teachings, but you need to touch the Lord. God's word cannot be separated from the Lord. If you don't know the Lord and you just listen to some teachings, when problems arise, you wouldn't know which way to go. We should not forget that we not only have a precious Bible, but much more, we have a precious God, a precious triune God who indwells us. You cannot just rely on the letter of the word. You have to join this Bible to the Lord who indwells you. Otherwise, when problems arise, suddenly you hear people saying this, you're saying that, and in the end you hear so many rumors, and you don't know which is right and which is wrong. But there's a word of the Lord. It's good. But much more important is that the living God, the Holy Spirit, indwells you. If you do not have the Holy Spirit, do not live in the Spirit, you have no confirmation. How would you know? The Holy Spirit within us would confirm the Word of God. Oftentimes, the living relationship between you and the Lord is needed. The Pharisees knew the Bible, but they did not know the Lord. then there was a big problem, right? So brothers and sisters, today we who are in the church need to be firmly established. We need to know the truth. But your truth should not be teachings, but it should be the living Lord. That is why the Lord Jesus said, I am the truth. If you only understand teachings, you only know half. You only know the half truth. But you need to know that the reality of the truth is the Lord. Do not forget. The Lord Jesus said, I am the truth. Because He is the reality of this, the truth. That is why the Word of God cannot be separated from God. John said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. They're inseparable. Now, if you want to separate the Word of God from God, then you will have a problem. If you separate the Word from God, then the Word is a dead Word. The Word without God is dead. That is why, do not just understand the Bible. I don't mean to say don't understand the Bible. I said do not only understand the Bible, but you need to know the living Lord. Without knowing the living Lord, you will not be firm. You will not be solid. So what is the church? The church is what? It is the pillar and base of the truth. It's very firm and established. There's the Word of God. And to that you add the knowledge of the living Christ. Then it becomes that pillar that is unshakable. It's firmly rooted and grounded. And He's within you, and you will not be deceived. But if you just know some teachings, of course it's better than not knowing. But I have to tell you, that's not sufficient. What we need to get is this true and living God. He is a real life. And He is the living God. Only He is the living God. And only He is the maker of heaven and earth. And only He can help you. Thank the Lord. Amen. I hope that the brothers and sisters would all be like what is said in the Psalms, to be like Zion, immovable, unshakable. It's not that those people who know the Bible are like Zion, they cannot be moved. But it's for those who trust in the Creator of heaven and earth, this living Christ, who lives in your spirit through the Holy Spirit. And He also wants to make His home in your heart. If you fully trust in this one, then you will be firmly established. Thank and praise the Lord. We here in the church are a group of people who fully trust in the Lord. We do not trust in man. It doesn't mean to say that we do not need the brothers and sisters. But each one of us need to trust and rely on this living Christ. The more you grow in life, the more you will trust in Him. If you trust in Him, you will be like Zion. Mount Zion is too important. Mount Zion is not for the individual, but Mount Zion is a corporate building up together. Firstly, in Psalm 122, they went to Jerusalem and they were quite happy to be built up together there. But that is still not quite enough. The second level needs to be firm and unmovable, like Zion. Jerusalem speaks of the temple of the Lord. And Zion speaks of God's kingdom. It's mighty. The church is the kingdom of God. Many brothers and sisters do not understand that. A kingdom. A kingdom is much more important than a family, a house, or a country. But the Lord wants to establish His kingdom on this earth, which is the church. I know that in your heart and in your mind, your understanding or your feeling concerning the church is not like this. That is why you're so loose. The church is too important. It's way too important. Just like what we read in Hebrews chapter 12. We've come to Mount Zion. It's not only the temple of the Lord, but it is the city of God. It's heavenly. Besides, it's an unshakable, immovable kingdom. What is God's kingdom here for? It's to defeat God's enemy. If you don't know this, you do not understand what Zion is. God wants His kingdom to come down to this earth. And He wants it to be, and He wants to be the king among us to reign. He wants to take back this earth from Satan. If God wants to just take back this earth from Satan, it's an easy thing for Him. But He doesn't want to do it by Himself. He wants to do it through the church. He wants us here to be built up together as His kingdom. Satan knows this and he's afraid of it. That's why the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 16, I will build my church. You know that Matthew is a gospel of the kingdom. That is why the church is His kingdom. When He said this word, He also told Peter, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven was mentioned immediately. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Meaning to say, whatever is bound in heaven requires that you also bind it on earth. And whatever heaven wants to release, you also, or to lose, you also have to lose it on earth. And you didn't know that the church is such a great authority? What needs to be bound in heaven requires that we bind it on earth. Because God has given this authority to His church. But if we cannot match Him, if we do not correspond to Him on earth today, and if we're not one with Him, the head is in heaven, but His body is on this earth. But if we do not cooperate with Him, then what can be done? If, let's say, for the U.S., Obama, the president, sits in the White House, but the embassy here in Bangkok does its own thing, but it does not do what Washington wants to do. Obama says, this needs to be done, but the embassy says, no, we don't want to do that, we'll do it some other way. Can that be done? Really, no? Then how about us, the church today? Are we truly doing what God wants to do? God says to do this? No. What should be bound, you loose. And what needs to be loosened, you bind. You just do the opposite. You do things contrary to the heavens. The Lord says, be one, but you said, no, I want to fight. You want to be free. You want to do your own thing. If this is the case, what kind of a church are you? What kind of a church are you? It's your church. That's not Mount Zion. Mount Zion belongs to God. Your church belongs to you. There's so many kinds of denominations and organizations. How many embassies of the U.S. are there in Bangkok? Just one. So few? I'm an American. I'll open another one tomorrow. How about that? Is that good? If it's too difficult for you to get a visa over there, I'll open one here and you can come get a visa from me. How about that? Amen? I'm an American. I can open one. You say, oh, I'm by myself. Okay, my wife will join me and open one. There's another American here. You're an American too. We two, we three. And with your wife, four of us, we can open one. How about that? Good? Can we do that? Who would recognize you? We'll call it the new embassy of the U.S. How about that? How about that? Would that be good? It doesn't work? Can that be done? Why not? Why not? Because it is America is a kingdom. You cannot just open an embassy of the U.S. You who came from Germany, would you like to open up the embassy of a German embassy here? You wouldn't even dream of opening a German embassy here. But if we want to open a church, start a church, okay. Oh, we fight over here, so tomorrow we go start another one. How about that? Would you like to do that? No? Why no? Start one. Why not? Everyone can open one. You open a Baptist church. I open a Presbyterian church. And now open a youth church. And you open a Thai church. There's so many of them. Tell me, is that good? Is that okay? Tell me, would God recognize you? Tomorrow, if I were to open a new embassy of the U.S., do you think Obama would recognize that? Oh, he would say, oh, that's quite good. He's an American too. Would that be okay? Would that be okay? You came from China. Oh, you can open up a Chinese embassy here. Go open one up. Do you dare to do that? You'll be locked up if you do that. You may open up a store. You can sell shoes. But if you want to open up an embassy, not only can you not do that, but you will be taken into custody. But if you want to start a church tomorrow, you just open up a church. Only foolish people will think that you are it. Don't you know that the church is the kingdom of heaven? Can God's kingdom be just started with you like that? That's why, brothers and sisters, we do not have the proper knowledge concerning Zion. What's wrong with this church, our Baptist church? Oh, Lord Jesus. The church is Mount Zion. It's God's choice. It's the kingdom of God. It's not something loose. Do not be loose. God's throne is there. Do not think that there will be no judgment. There will be judgment, but not today. When he comes again, would you not be afraid? Everything will be torn apart. That is why the Lord needs to open up our eyes. We have to know Him. But you know, God's people are stiff-necked. Their hearts are hardened. If your heart is hardened, then your mind would be darkened, and you would not be able to understand. It would get very loose. Look at the people in the world. They do not believe in God. They don't believe in God. Oh Lord. Recently, our brother sent me a website from Germany. It's a German astrophysicist. He proved in a very orderly way that the universe could not have come about just like the Big Bang. It's not possible. Even this small little cup here, if I tell you that this cup here, it just boop, 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 and it came about, do you believe it? It's boop, 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 bang, and it came about. Do you believe it? Oh, you've got to believe. You don't you believe it? How about this universe, this earth? I don't know how much greater and how much more beautiful it is than this cup here. I don't know how many thousands or millions or trillions of times. Nobody set it up? That's deceit. Without God, Lord Jesus. That's why man is darkened. Man is darkened. It's too pathetic. But we Christians do not think that, oh, you're safe. Once you're safe, that you're very bright and enlightened. But there's still a lot of darkness within you. That is why the Bible says that our minds need to be renewed. We people, we need our souls need to be transformed. And our lips need to be saved. Otherwise, our hearts are still full of deceit. And it's not proper. It's just darkened. Proud. Dreadful. If Christians do not change, if you remain in the flesh, you will not be better than the unbelievers. That is why, brothers and sisters, we need to grow. I don't want to just talk about the Psalms here. We have to continuously grow in our spiritual life. It's only in this way that the church could appear. It's not easy to be building up this kingdom. You look at with the Israelites in the Old Testament. In the end, God had no way. Even though the Lord Jesus came in person, but they still want to cast Him away. tell me, don't you want to cast the Lord away? I don't care. I just do what I want to do. Isn't Laodicea like that? We are inside and the Lord is outside knocking on the door. And you say that the Master is outside knocking. The church is His and He's outside knocking on the door. You have just usurped His church. Oh Lord Jesus, save us. Amen. That is why when we come to Psalm 125, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord is also upright and righteous. It's Zion. The Lord does not allow the wicked people to be there. It's not that simple. If you want to go to the U.S. already, it's not so simple. But in order to enter into the kingdom of the heavens, it's even more difficult. You have to remember all those who are of the flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of the heavens. So when we come to Psalm 126, there is a captivity. A captivity appears. Being captives. In the Old Testament age, the Bible tells us, because God's people were disobedient and they were loose in their ways. In the end, they were more idolaters than the heathen nations. Truly so. They were even worse. They even sacrificed their own children. And shed the blood of the infant, of the innocents. They shed the blood of the children. And they sacrificed their own children to the idols. Do you have children? How old is it? 21. Oh, too old. How old is your child? 19 months. Just right. You can offer her up. Would you want to sacrifice your child to the devil? Kill her? You cannot imagine that. God's people would do such a thing. How about you? In a spiritual, concerning a spiritual aspect, do you not love money? Are you not greedy? Being covetous. Isn't that like idolatry? Isn't that idolatry? For the sake of money, you can do anything. You can do all kinds of things. Isn't that idolatrous? Today, the idol is not that bald-headed, big tummy guy sitting there. Today, the idol is very small. It's a dollar bill. You can put the idol in your pocket. And you just carry your idol along with you, no matter where you go. Where is the idol? It's in my pocket. The current idols are a different type of idols. Your greed, your covetousness. May the Lord save us. May the Lord save us. In the end, God had no way left. So he destroyed the temple, and he even burned up Jerusalem. In the end, the nation was also gone. There's no temple, there was no ground, everything was gone. The Israelites were just dispersed, scattered, fell into Babylon, into Egypt, into all the countries. They were scattered. That is why in the Bible there is a Babylon. Babylon. The city of God is not Babylon. God's kingdom is Zion. The meaning of Babylon, for you folks who came from Cambodia, the source of the Babylon is the Tower of Babel, which was judged by God. To make it brief, before they were one nation, and they had one language, but because they worshipped idols, and they made for themselves, in order to glorify themselves, they made this Tower of Babel, and in the end, God scattered them. So their one language became many languages. You don't understand what I say, and I don't understand what you say. I don't understand you, nor you me. And in the end, they were all scattered. So the principle of Babylon is dispersion. It used to be one nation, and now it became many. At first they were one people. Now they were dispersed and they were divided. Besides, there was much confusion. You do your things and I don't do my thing. You don't understand what I say and I don't understand what you say. Today, Christianity is, they're all in this principle. They're so divided. There's no organization that is so divided as Christianity in Babylon. Isn't that so? That's why in Revelation chapter 17, verse 17 to 18, Babylon appears again. That's a religious Babylon. And how about Zion? Zion is a heavenly Jerusalem. And it's in Revelation chapter 21 to 22. Thank the Lord. It's the bride of the Lamb. It's God's kingdom. It's the building that God wanted to build. Now I have to ask you today, where are you? Are you in Babylon? Or are you in Zion? The situation among the Christians today is division upon division. And there are many denominations. There are all kinds of denominations. You do your thing and I do my thing. And tomorrow when we fight, then we break up again. And there's another fight and there's another division. There are all kinds of things. There's the Baptists. There's the First Baptist Church. And there's also a Second Baptist Church. And there's also a Third Baptist Church. And there's also the Southern Baptists. All kinds. There are all kinds. There's the Lutheran Church. There's the Anglican Church. And there's all the Presbyterian Church. The Presbyterian Church. And there's the Charismatic Group. And there's the New Charismatic Group. There are all kinds and types. There's a Brethren Assembly. And there are the Open Brethren. And then there are closed brethren. There are all kinds of groups. There's the Roman Catholicism. There's all kinds. There's the family church. All kinds of churches. Some real and false ones. All kinds. There's the lightning from the east? There's the lightning from the east. It doesn't matter if they went over to Taiwan and changed their name, but it's the same thing. There are all kinds of churches. This is the principle of Babylon in captivity. This is God's judgment. Because God's people were disobedient. And they were loose. Today, serving God becomes a job, a profession. They receive salaries. And in Korea, there are people who sell churches. Good business. Because I want a larger one, so I sell my smaller one. How about that? It's good business. That is why I jokingly say you should quickly sell your pastor before you sell us, then we might as well sell you off first. And change for a better pastor. You want to change for a larger church? I would change you out and get a better pastor. I would take the first step before you start selling me off. There are all kinds of varieties. Whatever you cannot imagine, the Christians can come up with all kinds of things. This is Babylon. So much confusion. God will burn up Babylon when the time comes. Babylon would go up in fire. God's judgment upon Babylon is much harder, harsher than God's judgment on the world. So are you not afraid? Do not think that it will not happen. It will. Do not think that you're the church today and you wouldn't change into something else. You don't even know what it would change into. You wouldn't even dream of it. You know, when John saw the Babylon the Great in chapter 17 of Revelation, he was surprised. How come the church of God would turn into something like this? The bride of Christ became a whore. It's unthinkable. The bride should be holy, without blemish, fully for the Lord, with a relationship to Him. It's only a counterpart of love. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ is our bridegroom. But it turns out to be a harlot, a whore, who could have relationships with all kinds of people. A whore doesn't care who she goes with. As long as there's money, it's okay with her. As long as I get some benefit, it's okay with me. It is advantageous to me. I don't care. Is a church like this? Are we in a church like this? It doesn't work this way. We need to be Zion today. Thank and praise the Lord. You need to see the vision of Zion. The name Zion means it's dry land, like the desert. This is the meaning of Zion. When you look at it from the outside, you would wonder, oh, what kind of a place is this? It looks like the wilderness, a desert. It's all dry and barren. Seems like there's nothing. That's why, if you want to know Zion, you need revelation. Otherwise, you come here and take a look. Look at this group of people. They have nothing special. They don't have money. They're just shabby looking. They're shabby looking. Look at the brothers and sisters here. Are they pretty? Of course, if you're blind, it doesn't look pretty. But if the Lord would open up your eyes, you would see, oh, it's very precious. God would not reveal His treasure just to anyone. Do not look down on it. This is a future king. Don't forget that. Be careful. Uh, in the future, they may be reigning over Thailand. They would reign together with Christ. That's why, brothers and sisters, you need to pray. Lord, open my eyes. Lord, open my eyes. Save us out of Babylon. For the first and second level, it's to save you out of yourself. When you come to the third level, it's to save you out of religion. To save you out of the condition of captivity. Save us out of the condition of dispersion. To save you out of all kinds of different denominations. You have to migrate. You have to get out of there. Get out of Babylon. And to bring you back to the real Church of God. It's done in life. And it is in this living God. And where there's a condition of harmony, oneness, and there's a building up, and there's filled with Christ, and they're fitly joined together, and there is the sovereignty of the Lord. It's God's kingdom. It's not man doing funny things there. It's Zion. That's the kingdom of God. So when you come to this level, you have left Babylon. You're very happy. Hallelujah. So we sang that song earlier. Everybody was very happy. Right? That we were singing Psalm 126. If you would go to the Lutheran church and sing this song, they would chase you away. They would not know how to appreciate this short song. They would even think that you're scolding them. But we sing this here, the more we sing, the happier we are. Because we've come out of Babylon. If you did not get out of Babylon, you will not be joyful. Have you ever sung hymns and in such a happy way like here? And Psalm 1. That's singing songs in Babylon in the Psalms. He says, I am happy, I'm very happy. You're so sorrowful. But in Zion, what does it say here? When the Lord brought back the captives from Zion, from all kinds of denominations and groups, they were brought back to the kingdom that the Lord built up, where there's a true building of the church, there's harmony, it's full of life. It's what pleases the Lord. And our God is the one reigning there. It's a kingdom of God. Oh, when you come back to Zion, whether you're great or small. This time when we went to the southern part of Thailand, the churches in the southern part of Thailand are not so big. But when we went there, we were very happy. When we got there, we really didn't want to leave, right? We didn't want to leave. It's too good. It's too good there. Although the church is a very simple, but it's actually not simple. It's Zion. When we went over there and we came back, we were very joyful because we are in Zion. Thank and praise the Lord. This is a testimony. In this world, some may say, God has done great things for them. The recovery of the building up of the church is a great thing. Do not think it's a little church there. Oh, over in Thailand, there's a little church there. Please do not despise or look down on the church. Because God's church, it's Zion. It's God's choice. It's His kingdom. Although there are few in numbers that came out of Babylon. Do you want to stay in Babylon the Great? I made a mistake. It's too big here. Zion very small. Where would you like to be? Do you want to be in Babylon the Great? Or in this tiny little Zion? What do you want? Really? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have to go a step further to see what the church of the Lord is. Not just, oh Lord, save me. Oh Lord, your kingdom. You want to build your church. Christ loves the church. But that's God's will. That's what is hidden in God's heart. You have to treasure this. Do not damage the church. The church is too precious. We all need to love the church. So when they returned to Zion, they were like those who dreamed. They thought they were dreaming. I'm still dreaming today. Are you dreaming? Oh, I'm still in the church. Hallelujah. It's like I'm in a dream. Yes, truly so. Our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. although sometimes it's a little bit messy, but it's okay. It's still joyful. It's still better than Babylon. Thank the Lord. Although we, on one hand, we're very joyful. On the other hand, we need to weep. We have to sow and labor so that Zion would prosper and would become richer. Life has to grow. So that you still want to just enjoy life? That is why, on one hand, it's full of joy, but on the other hand, they're sowing in tears for many who have not returned. Today, there are many Christians who are still locked up in Babylon. They're still our brothers and sisters. They're children of God. Have been kept captives. They're not able to get out. They're locked up in there. And they do not have any liberty. Don't you think of them? Don't you weep for them? Do you weep before the Lord? Say, Lord, save them. In the first and second level, it's, Lord, save me. When we come to the third level, Lord, bring our captives back. You and I cannot make it, but God can. God can do it, but you have to remind Him. You have to remember them and shed tears for them. Tell the Lord they belong to you. They're locked up in Babylon. They're captives there. That is why it's difficult for the Christians to come out of there, because they're locked up in that system. They're afraid to come out. Really suffering there. Although they know that it's wrong, but they cannot get out of it. I know many who are in there. They have no way. That is why in verses 5 and 6, there are those who sow in tears. Of course, if you sow, you cannot sow today and reap tomorrow. That's not possible. You have to wait for a long period of time. Or you have to sow. You need to pray also. You also have to shed tears. Tell the Lord. Lord, only you have a way to save them out of Babylon. You know? In the second level, it's a small net. Your personal problems, you're like a little bird locked up. But Babylon, the captivity, to get you out of the big prison of Babylon, to release you from Babylon, is not easy. That's why you need to weep. And you need a group of people who are willing to shed tears for them. You have to rejoice. You should rejoice for those who return. And you need to weep for those who are still locked up there, who are still held captives there. Have you shed tears? Do you shed tears for yourself? Or do you shed tears for others? Shed tears for the captives. May the Lord have mercy on us. The time is up. Time is up again. But Psalm 127 is very important. When you return to Zion, you need to build. But when you come to the third level, you will understand. Unless the Lord builds, you cannot build anything. Do not think that we're so capable. If it's not Him who builds, we cannot build anything up. For 40 some years, I have seen and I've heard us talking about the building more than anybody else. You know, or the building all collapsed. That's why I told the Lord, "Lord, that's not the building." I tell the Lord, I need to know, what is the building? In Psalm 123, it's my favorite psalm. Oh, I'm sorry, it's 127. That's my favorite psalm. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. You don't know it today, but after 20 years, you realize it's all in vain. Then you have wasted 20 years. So the building is not just chit-chat. You have to tell the Lord. Just read Psalm 127 to the Lord. Let Him hear it. Tell Him, "Lord, let's come and read Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it." I told the Lord, "Lord, people have been building up for 6,000 years, but still they cannot build anything up. Lord, it's time You come and build. What man built is just a mess. What did it turn into in the end? Why don't You let Him come build? And you still continue to build on your own? Do not think that we are so capable. You have to tell the Lord, "Lord, I give up. I cannot make it. You come and do it. Please, Lord, I beg You to come and build. We have done enough. It's enough. We've labored and labored. We've had sleepless nights." Oh, let's continue tomorrow.